Every week we're coming together. We laugh and we chatter and we have fun with Sue and me.
Hello, everypony. Welcome to Sue and Me, episode 156.
Greetings. How are you doing?
Greetings, Earthlings. We come in peace.
That's
says some assembly acquired.
Okay, that was stupid.
Yeah, I don't know what that bit was, but it was a bit.
Well, Aki was speaking like a robot, and then I decided to join in. Then you said, we come in peace, and I added, is some assembly required.
Which was a dumb joke.
Yes. We are the IKEA robots. We will build furniture and eat meatballs.
The IKEA job interview. Please make a chair and take a seat.
Yeah. Reminds me of the last time I actually went to an IKEA. They had a big sign advertising that you could buy, I think it was 128 hot dogs at once. You know, cooked, you know, fully cooked hot dogs.
Why would you want to do that?
I don't know, but it was an offer they had. And also, to my great dismay, every single reference to hot dogs was instead glizzy.
Okay, that's funny.
So like, you could buy one glizzy for you know like $2 or something like that. You could buy it. There were like different amounts you could buy at once. And the largest was 128. and yeah, it's still just the same little, you know, kitchen that makes them all. So you're going to be waiting there forever hot dogs.
What are you even going to do with them?
My best guess was like, oh, you know, you bring your entire fucking baseball team to have hot dogs. And, you know, everyone gets like two or three.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like I've had multiple hot dogs before. And like the max I can probably do is like four or something like that. Well, if they're like a really small hot dogs, then maybe more, but like a regular sized hot dog, maybe four maximum.
I think my standard max is like three, and that's like if it's grilled and really good. Otherwise two is going to be my max, especially if there's like any sides at all.
Yeah, like four is like the absolute maximum. Like if I stuff, it's like, okay. And then there are like some people who can eat like a crazy amount of hot dogs. Like they just like freaking stuff their face with hot dog after hot dog after hot dog. It's like, how does your stomach fit all of that?
Inflation.
Inflates you with hot dogs.
I mean, I've never seen that to a hot dog.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Inflates you with hot dogs.
I'm currently looking for a picture of like the IKEA sign that had it. I have already found some. I found one for the 78 hot dogs. Yeah, it's the 50-cent glizzy. And then there's another sign that says, "Grab a glizzy."
A glizzy.
Yes, grab a glizzy.
I want the glizzy.
Now I need to go get, I don't know, hot dog buns and some, yeah. Just get some like vegan hot dogs, essentially. Just like make some. Now you made me want hot dogs. Damn.
Okay.
We should all go to IKEA right now and eat the food.
So it sounds like I was misremembering. The 78 is the largest. I am.
Oh, okay,
just still
okay.
Insane.
It is still, yeah. It is a lot. It is a lot.
I can get you the sign for the 78 glizzies.
Yeah. Anyway, how long has it been since we've recorded together? I think it has been like
too
a little
long.
While.
Too long.
Too long.
It's been so long.
been so long.
I don't know. It's been forever. Hey, at least we had many good guest episodes.
I've sent the image. It's 78 hot dogs for $39. And it says, literally the new world record holder, 78 hot dogs, please be careful above it.
Please be careful. Yeah, it actually just says that in parentheses.
I'm reading it for the listeners. I know you two can read it yourself. But it says, get your glizzy on. Order as many as you like, in parentheses, and can consume, in parentheses. We won't judge unless it's a hot dog eating competition. Then who knows? Maybe we will. Available in the Swedish Bistro after checkouts.
Yeah. I mean, 78 hot dogs for $39. I think that's a pretty good deal.
Oh, yeah. It's a good price. It's just way too many fucking hot dogs.
IKEA family price, though. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, they're beating out Costco for cheap hot dogs.
Yeah,
though
like
but I don't think anything can ever beat the iconic, you know, nature of the $1.50 Costco hot dog. Especially since the CEO threatened to kill a guy for increasing the price or trying to increase the price.
Good.
Honestly, Costco is just a very fun company in general. Like, did you hear about them, like, opening up? Like, in California, there was recently a law passed that allows for mixed zoning as compared to single zoning, like it is everywhere else in the U.S. And a Costco promptly built an apartment building on top of the Costco that had affordable housing. Costco's just fun. Also, unlike Walmart, Costco actually like subsidizes the local community because they are also a bulk retailer. So you know, local shops can buy in bulk from, you know, Costco and still be profitable. Huh. Actually, why the single biggest, like, or you know, highest earning store anywhere, if I remember correctly, is a Costco in Hawaii, because it's like the only bulk retailer in the entirety of Hawaii. So like everything buys from them. They have yearly revenue of over $1 million in just one store.
Yeah.
Or net income, I think that I believe the $1 million is after expenses.
Nice to have some fun companies. Like, I feel like another fun company, to be honest, probably like Valve or something like that.
it's always funny how they're getting, you know, lawsuits calling them a monopoly when like literally there are other options. They're just objectively worse.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you can get most games, at least on Epic or the Xbox Game Store, but why would you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, like, the whole thing of, like, I watched, like, a whole freaking video essay about it, like, just the whole thing of, like, how numerous other, like, storefronts have tried, like, the whole Epic Game Store and so on, like, they can't compete with Valve even with their, like, free games. Like, people just literally go and grab the free games and then, like, they don't really buy anything.
Yeah, that's what I do with Epic.
That reminds me to check out the free games. It's free.
Whoa.
I haven't checked in a while.
Yeah, me neither.
Warhammer 40k Speed Freaks. Uh-huh.
A Warhammer racing game, I assume?
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
I really hope that one of the racers is an orc with a red car, because red makes it go faster.
You can definitely play an orc.
Wow. I think you
build your cars yourself.
Oh, so it's kind of, it's like cross out, but racing.
I don't know.
Crossout is basically a post-apocalyptic PvP game. It's actually made by the same people as War Thunder. Basically, you can build your own vehicle and then you fight them. But yeah.
I think it's kind of like that, but I'm not sure. I'm just looking at the pictures. Yeah.
Also, it's extremely pay to win, as you know, as one would expect from Gaijin.
Cool. Yep. I love pay to win.
Oh yeah, do we have any comments? Because I realized that like probably like any comments sent after May 10th are likely not read.
Oh, let me check.
Akito looking up our website ASMR.
Yeah, whenever I use the internet, I always go,
You sound like that one turtle having sex with a croc.
What the fuck? Hey, screw you. So mid-May, right?
Yeah, like somewhere around then. Like I think the last episode where you were on was the one. What was it? The trio is back together, which we recorded around May 10th. Because I actually checked when we actually did the recording, as opposed to when the episode was published.
Because yeah, we had the episode "The Trio Is Back Together."
Yeah.
Where we also talked about the conservative guy.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Asking the gaming questions, and we have another comment from them.
Fun.
Oh.
So this is from Sparrowhawk Tomcat. I am fully aware of the live and let live mentality, which I am against, honestly. But is it just me, or is there a push to bussificate men these days?
What? What?
Bussificate. Bussificate. Yeah, whatever. Like, I keep hearing genders and sexuality orientation, all that stuff can differ, but it seems to be one simple agenda shrouded in truth. It all seems like regular, just be yourself, and it's okay to cry once in a while, but from what I see, it all sounds like just some, it's okay to let the water carry you away. I remember when men would be sad, there was simply a get over it attitude. Admittedly, it was not that useful. What I am getting to is that nowadays people just become as feminine or whatever as they want and are told to not care and just be what they are. I just want to see a world where people fill their esteem by having arms that could lift others off the ground, or just do outdoor activities that are more than just sitting in a cafe or visiting parks like women, but more like carrying barbecue uphill on tracks as squads or something like that. I want to live in a world where everyone looks like the beach volley scene in Top Gun. What a shame that movie... Wait, this is like in parentheses. What a shame that movie keeps getting called gay propaganda while it's a movie telling about how strong men should be, like, which isn't gay at all.
Buddy, one of the best parts of Top Gun is the homoerotic tension in that movie. It is the only thing that holds my attention.
I think we've talked before about like how, like, I think it was like my notes one time about like how boring and like forgettable of a movie Top Gun really is.
Oh yeah, I've ranted about it several times. Top Gun is such a lame fucking movie. Nothing happens in it. The most interesting thing is that beach volleyball shot.
Yeah.
Where men look less like delicate things, but more like people who instill fear in people that would mess with them, and deal with things like sadness by getting over it together, as opposed to crying in Discord calls or whatever that kids these days seem to like to do. Any thoughts on everything I've read out so far?
I think the primary thing is that it's kind of, I think they're trying to get at the general shift in like how men's emotions are treated. You know, he's wanting much more traditional masculinity of kind of keep it inside and don't let anyone see it, which personally I think is a toxic way of handling emotions. There are No, not. Okay, let me start over. I'm stumbling over my words. There are absolutely, you know, ways you can do that are more healthy, but you know, the very traditional masculine way of handling feelings, I don't think is good. On the other hand, with the, you know, just convincing men to cry and relating that to, I think, just kind of giving up and letting things just hit them and not doing anything about it. No, I mean, I don't think that's what anyone's encouraging. They want you, you know, to release that emotion inside so that you can handle it, and then you can deal with whatever's causing it.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's about having men be weak or something. It's more about just being able to live healthy with emotions, basically.
Yeah,
it's actually, like, I have this freaking meme of a list, like, that keeps expanding. Like, I have a list of stupid things that people have heard called gay. And, like, a lot of them are really, like, things that make life easier or makes you healthier. Like, anything like that. Like, it's just called gay or feminine or whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, I think they actually acknowledge in the comment that, like, it's not really useful to, like, I don't know, like, keep the emotions inside or something like that.
Yeah, I did notice that, yes. But I also want to say that, you know, with the, you know, going outside and doing, you know, traditionally masculine stuff, like carrying things uphill, I guess, there's nothing stopping anyone from doing that still.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, yeah, you can totally do that if you want to, but, like, it doesn't mean everyone has to do it.
Yeah, I feel like, yes, there probably has been a decrease in that kind of outdoor activity, though I think that's less to do with, you know, people being more queer these days and more of the fact that people are just living a lot more digitally. And, you know,
also, who has the time to go barbecue?
That's not really who I'm getting at. I'm getting at there's just less interest in it because people are more focused elsewhere in their lives. Like, if you go in the countryside, you're still going to find plenty of outdoorsy people, but you're not going to see that a lot in bigger cities because who can be bothered to take a day trip to go somewhere when you're in the middle of the city, you know?
Yeah.
So it's expensive. So much meat. Anyway, comment continues, of course. On another topic, what is up with the whole egg pink pill groom or some dumb teenagers thinking being a femboy is cool thing they should absolutely do? The only trans me and my family know started from actual gender dysphoria from childhood. How can some random person end up becoming femboy gay or whatever because randoms online tell them to? Now, I ain't gay or anything and can't comment, but I'm pretty sure people who think becoming gay is okay or whatever would scream at the sight of some chihuahua arming its sidewinder?
Sidewinder?
A sidewinder is a type of missile.
Okay.
Also a snake.
Okay, what does it have to do with a chihuahua?
I have no idea. I'm going to get... My best guess at that point would be a chihuahua would be, like, a term like bogey or something like that. I don't know.
Maybe it's some foreign saying or something.
Something small, and something, you know, typically thought to be small, annoying, and aggressive. That's the best I can come up with.
So, I don't think anyone is being pink-pilled or groomed to becoming a femboy. I think it is more, like, there is some sort of online community around it. But I think it's more about self-discovery than grooming teens into becoming femboys.
Yeah, and it's actually been scientifically proven multiple times that social contagion is not a thing.
Yeah. It's just people are being introduced to it, realizing that, hey, this is something I want to be, or, you know, I just generally like it. And so they start exploring that.
Yeah, and, like, even if, like, it is something that, like, they eventually realize that, like, okay, this isn't for me. Like, at least they can say that they tried, so they know for sure that it's not for them. Like, of course, like, I'm not saying that, like, you have to try everything. A freaking Zootopia song. I'm not saying that you have to do that, but, like, I don't really see the harm in doing that, because, like, then you can be sure that it's not for you.
Yeah. Kind of building on that with the you don't have to. Naturally, yes, a lot of people who, you know, if you're only attracted to one gender, you're going to know that fairly well. You're not going to see someone and start questioning. But if you do see someone and start questioning, okay, well, then there might be something actually there. That's where the exploration comes in. And so like, yeah, you don't have to, you know, try it to say that, oh, no, you're not gay. Because, you know, perhaps you simply do not feel any attraction that way. That's completely valid. However, if you start feeling curious about that, you know, then that's when you look into it. You see if it is really something you want or are interested in. And then you can, you know, I'll go from there.
Yeah, I think that's a very healthy way to view it.
We should make people gayer.
yeah, like we will make social contagion a thing.
Especially now during Pride Month. I already have all my, like, trans pride pins on my backpack.
Nice.
I can't wait for the first people that see it to become trans.
Yeah, it's like a freaking SCP or something. Like, people look at, like, the pins, and the pins are like an SCP that makes them trans.
Good.
I forget which song it was, but do you guys remember when there was like some controversy over some song put hung that conservatives were thinking were turning kids gay?
No.
That sounds vaguely familiar, but I'm not sure.
Just remembered a meme that says, well, if this song can turn them gay, just have them listen to WAP and then they'll be straight again.
Yeah. Yeah, or wait, you can, like, put one blasty from one ear and the other blasty from the other ear, and then it's just, like, bisexual.
Bisexuals, yeah.
Bisexual. Find the balance.
Also, I'm still curious why this guy is going to the zoo files for the queer for like the queer culture stuff.
Wait until you hear the last part.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
As last one that I would like to just rant or whatever about, I keep wondering if my straight friend is secretly boy modding, femboyifying all day, which would make me real sad. I already have the utmost disgust about femboys, who I consider to be failures of men, and I am suspecting if his ever-increasing skincare routines is sign of out-of-the-ordinary looks being groomed by disgusting subhumans online that make my fist clench. Is there a way to know what path someone is taking? Is there a working way to make a man out of someone?
Mr. I'll make a man out of you.
Exactly.
Yeah, just do the trading thing where you have to shoot tomatoes with an arrow while they're flying through the air and hit a bullseye, like, you know, like that. And then you have to carry a whole bunch of water buckets through the mountains. Like, that's how you make a man out of someone.
Exactly.
I learned that in Mulan. Oh, yeah, then you have to use weights to climb a vertical pole to grab an arrow from the top. Yeah, like, I learned that from Mulan. and I actually realized that Mulan is a movie about gender nonconformity.
It is, yeah. But also, buddy, if he's your friend and you're this concerned about it, but he's going to be the same guy either way. It's just he's expressing himself differently. Also, why are you coming to the queers to ask about how to counter the queer agenda?
Maybe insider information. Yeah, like, we have the queer agenda here. Like, you know, like, we are just, like, spilling all the secrets here. Yeah, trust me, there is no agenda.
I am opening up the queer agenda right now, actually.
Oh, okay. The queer agenda. I still haven't gotten my copy.
Leave that agenda alone.
I only got like the deer agenda, and I think they just like messed up my order.
Damn.
All I have is the robot uprising agenda.
All the agendas are here. But like, I'm wondering like who this person is. Like, are they like? Do they realize that this is like a zoophile podcast, or are they a zoophile?
See, I think at this point, they're just trolling.
Yeah,
they are probably trolling. But like, they create content though. So like,
it is funny to read.
It's fun as hell. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I cannot take this seriously at all. It's just, you know, especially with that email address I sent you guys. I'm pretty sure they're just trolling, which I think is really funny.
Honestly, keep asking us more about femboys and feminine men.
I love reading these. It's, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, I don't know, like, we have those, like, AI comments that were kind of funny, but, like, these actually have thought in them. They have some creativity in them, and I think that's really cool, even though it's just trolling. But, like, it's still, like, really cool that someone actually puts their time to write these.
End of the email by saying, as again, sorry for long, no English structure rants, but thanks for trying to comprehend. Yeah.
Imagine if this is just one of our friends fucking with us.
That would be kind of funny, though.
Who do you
think? I don't
think
any of our friends would use the N-word in their email address.
I mean, true.
Oh, fair. I've forgotten that detail.
Yeah, that's like. I mean, if they're really committed to the bit, but like,
at that point, like, why?
Yeah. Exactly.
We have two more comments on For Your Consideration.
Yeah.
One is from Insignificant. I have a feeling someone with an inflation fetish would appreciate the air elemental. On the topic of less common fetishes, no kink shaming, but the concept of a fart elemental now upsets me. That concept also upsets me. Why
Fair.
Did you say that?
Fair.
Did I hear Eevee purring?
Yes.
Eevee likes the fart elemental.
Purring right into the microphone as she heard about the concept of fart elementals.
Fart elementals. I miss her. She was so fun to hang out with, like, while you were at work and stuff.
What was she? Didn't she just kind of lay around all day?
I mean, kind of, but, like, she was there, and, like, sometimes she just sought attention from me, and that was really nice.
She's a kitty.
She is indeed a kitty, yes.
Good kitty.
One more comment from Husky on Wheels. What a delight to hear Zooey on the podcast, especially as I listened to this episode just after listening to the latest episode of Suit. I hope they're back soon.
Oh yeah, it was great having them on.
It's a shame I missed that episode. Let's have them on again when I'm actually there.
Yes, we can plan that out if you'd like.
For sure.
Is that all the comments?
That's all the comments.
Yay! Wow. We
unless there's anything fun in the spam.
Check the spam.
Yeah, let me check the spam. Casino ad. Uh-huh.
What?
If you sport blonde hair, pale eyes, and fair skin, identifying the top clothing colors to flatter your original features can significantly enhance your overall look. Best clothing colors for blonde hair, blue eyes, fair skin.
Okay, so we've got a clothing ad for Aryans, all right?
Yep, that's how it sounds.
Oh no, I have pale skin and blue eyes and blonde hair.
Oh no, I can't hang out with you anymore.
No!
But I guess now you also have a website to figure out what your best cool summer palette would be.
Yeah, I'm definitely like, I'll go there immediately. Like, just like, yeah.
Imagine you go on there and it's literally just all Nazi uniforms.
I am imagining that joke fell
fucking flat. Okay.
I was not listening. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I was like, I just stopped to imagine that. Like, I was just imagining like a thing of like clicking the link and then a page taking a little while to load and then the images just like appear and it's like, okay then.
Yeah. Aki, you said you weren't listening to it.
I didn't comprehend the joke at all. No, what is it?
I just said, imagine all that it is just purely Nazi uniforms.
Sounds about right, honestly.
Yeah. If you're that obsessed with the blonde hair, blue eyes, fair skin folks, you know.
Don't say yeah, with yeah me. The just
sheer
a beer.
Silence after, like, oh god, that was a bad joke, apparently. Okay. I'll see myself out. Okay.
No, you're fine.
Yeah,
oh,
like.
Shit, I just ruined my two of my best friendships.
Yeah, we're no longer friends. I'm sorry. That was too problematic. I didn't like that.
Yeah, like, I still remember, like, the early days when you was the freaky fresh the fucking Nazi thing or whatever.
Because I didn't know the name had changed, and I only heard the historical version of the Reichstag.
Right?
I mean, technically, it is still, the building itself is still called that, so I was wrong.
Yeah.
It's just the meeting itself is called Bundestag.
Yes.
In the Reichstag, for some reason. Whatever.
Yeah, it's just the Federal Imperial Meeting now.
Meow.
Meow.
Meow. Meow.
Are we just... We're just gonna meow. Oh, yeah. Brass started listening to Warrior Cats.
Yes, I did. The Velo has offered to like create artwork of the three of us as Warrior Cats OCs, and being told I was going to have an OC soon, I'm like, fine, I guess I'll fucking listen to it so my character has some decent lore, and it's been pretty good.
How far are you?
Hold on, let me see how much is left in the audiobook. I'm still on the first book here. It's 90% complete.
Oh,
nice.
With 47 minutes remaining.
Nice. How are you liking it?
It's good. I like it. I will definitely be finishing it during my next shift because I listen to it while I work.
Good. Very good. Yeah, it's fun. Easy to listen to. Who's your favorite character?
Good question. I'm also having to consider the like impression I've gotten from the different voices the reader has given all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like Graypaw has a very strong lisp.
Oh, I love that.
Really I'm cute. Going to be the best warrior.
Yeah, that's cute.
Yeah, it's very. Honestly, I've enjoyed just kind of like the character growth with like Yellow Fang of initially just being extremely cranky and near suicidal to, you know, kind of being, you know, a mentor kind of thing, you know, but you know, still dealing with a lot of distrust.
Yeah. I want to have sex with Yellow Fang.
Like I'm experienced, huh?
I feel like she is hot.
I mean, I like cats. Her.
So.
Are cats you a zoophile? You want to fuck a cat?
I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Yeah.
It is very fun.
Yeah. I guess I can't really say much because I'm currently, like, well... Not like right now, but like I started working on a freaking Warrior Cats feral porn piece. Gay feral porn for Pride Month.
A
canonically gay characters, by the way.
Show when you're done, please.
Of course, naturally.
Thank you. Also, how is the design on my character coming?
I haven't actually started it. I'm looking for like reference pictures, because like I have a whole bunch of like cat references saved on my tablet, and it's actually really fun to like look at the pictures, and it's like, okay, this is like the personality that I want to portray. Like, of course, like I edit the poses a little bit and the expressions a little bit to give like the actual personality, but like I am already having like kind of a vision.
Yeah,
I will definitely run it by you when I'm like sketching, but I'm currently just like kind of in the stage of selecting references.
What was Aki's character?
Do you want me to tell you?
Sure.
Really emo cat, has cool, sick emo fringe. Fur is all black, but then also cool skeletal highlights.
Oh, okay, so that one was yours. Okay, I thought that was like Velo's initially.
No, that's mine. That's my original character. No stealing. No copying.
Downloads the image.
Don't repost. It's my no. Don't turn me into an NFT. Also has blue eyes and a very cool blue streak in the hair. Same color.
So Velo, what's yours then?
Mine is gonna be kind of like a medicine cat. I haven't really thought about like design elements much, but she got into an accident on the Thunderpath and was taken to a vet to be treated. And after she recovered, she escaped to return to the clan. And inspired by her experiences, she started out as a warrior apprentice. But then after that experience, she wanted to become a medicine cat. So she pursued that path. And because the vet that treated her wore glasses, she started thinking that that's somehow like relevant to like treating illness and so on. So whenever she is treating cats, she wears a broken pair of glasses that she just scavenged from some trash heap or something.
And since you two have given descriptions of yours, I will give a description of the general idea of mine, though the design isn't, you know, made yet. So mine is a cat that wears a cardboard robot costume as armor. Previously a kitty pet, now joining a clan. It just happened to have had the costume on when it happened, and it turns out to work fairly good as armor. You know, it blocks a lot of the slashes. Claws can get caught in it. You know, and of course, because not really much ability to fix the cardboard. Heard it's, you know, starting to look worse for wear. You know, some parts missing, you know, some parts probably patched, you know, with random foliage and stuff like that. But yeah.
No, it's going to be all moldy.
Mold cat. With our three cats here, are we having our own clan, or are we just putting ourselves in the Thunder Clan or something?
My cat is part of Thunder Clan.
Thunder Clan.
All right.
But no, we can be in different clans. We can kill each other.
You cannot pierce my mighty two-legger made armor.
So could. Fuck you.
You know, want to know the thing that like inspired me most for like the cardboard costume?
What? Yeah.
There's a in Team Fortress 2, there's a soldier cosmetic that is like a cardboard box robot costume.
Perfect. Perfect. Perfect.
And that is entirely what inspired me.
I think the idea is pretty cool, though. I can't wait to see it.
If neither of you have seen it before, I have sent it into the group chat.
Oh.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, I've seen this one, yeah.
Stupid. Anyway, how about we do the bits? Not the bits, the notes.
The bits.
The notes. Sure, because it was a long, long episode, so I have a lot of notes. I mean, I tried to cut them a little bit, but yeah.
Okay.
It's still a lot.
I am listling.
You're listling, okay. So,
I'm listing. I'm leading to one side.
Oh.
Whoa. Oh, no. No, don't bump my microphone. No. Okay.
What?
Never mind. It's probably not even picked up. It's fine. It's fine. So yeah. Last time when I recorded with Brass, I summarized the first part of episode 34. I was looking at the file names that this is technically episode 34 part 2. But like last week, I covered Form Thief part 1. And this week I am covering Form Thief Part 2, which was apparently published. Yeah, it was actually published just a day after the first part. So yeah, and this one is probably the longest episode of Zoo and Me. 1 hour and 46 minutes.
Is it the longest episode? I feel like there was an episode that was 2 hours long.
Maybe.
I think the 100, it was either the 1 year or one or 100th episode.
Yeah, because I remember one episode with like,
okay, longest episode of Zoo and Me. Yeah, longest episode of Zoo and Me to this point. Till episode 34.
Well, now I have to check what our longest episode is. So,
I mean, well, if you consider that there are episode 34, part 1 and part 2 per the file names that I was looking at, then technically this is like, I don't know, like almost 3 hours.
I see. Okay, episode 100. How long was that? Not that long, apparently. Okay,
Well. Cool,
never mind. All right, you can keep going.
Okay, yeah. In the part one, you ended it after you were done talking with City Council member Lavender, and you headed to the Lavender's house to look for the soul fragment of Ill the Bird. And when you get there, everything is lavender colored. Very surprising.
Mm-hmm.
Who would have thought?
And yeah, there was like this whole bit of like how the font changes when you actually capture a soul of an animal in the game. And Brass was trying to read the description in a British accent because it was like a fancy font or something.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
I am not sure if that sounded British to me, but like I'll take it.
I imagine I'd probably do at least a somewhat better one nowadays.
Probably
because my current D&D character has a bit of a British accent. He's a noble, you know. Need to sound upper class.
Yeah, a little bit posh, you know.
Of course, of course.
Yeah. After you were done with the bird, the next animal was a robot.
Hell yeah.
And you were talking about how it's like totally a bird for Aki and a robot for Brass.
See.
Like in the last episode, you said something like, "Let's take the pleasure key. I like birds." And I was like, I was just thinking, like, some things never change.
No, this is a thing that will never change. I like birds. Mm-hmm.
Bird hot, bird hot.
Very much so.
Hot birds. Yeah. So yeah, the robot who was nicknamed Zix because their actual name was like, I don't know, like Zeta Six something. I don't know, like a whole bunch of like freaking numbers there. So it was a Zix or something like that.
Seven.
Zix Seven.
Smack you both.
What the fuck?
Now we need the old freaking soundboard thing. It's just like the whole...
Ba-dum-tsh.
Ba-dum-tsh, yeah. But yeah.
I'm very upset. There's no way to get that back. And why are the delete sound buttons just they're just right there anytime you hover over the button, and there's no confirmation either. If you click it, it's just instant gone.
Rip in pieces. But yeah, so the robot Zix belongs to the town drunk Pete, who apparently has a hover RV parked above the town.
Yes.
You were just wondering, like, if it's a good idea to have the town drunk have a hover RV. And yeah, stuff just falls off the edge. Vomit, hats, beer bottle. Oh, apparently his pants too. Yeah. And he's a plushophile, and you interviewed him extensively about it.
Huh.
I forgot that detail, but I do know we talked to him as much as we could.
Yeah, and when you later came back, he was just
or at least a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
I super don't remember any of this.
Oh, we should do another Form 3 run through the...
You were talking about Form 2 at the end of the episode. I was like, wait, there was another one planned, or was it a joke?
Oh, what one?
Like Form Thief 2. Like, I'm not sure if that was a joke or if it was
It's been discussed several times, but it's not a thing that's been made. Or is currently being made.
Yeah. Yeah, you found a beer hat.
Oh, hell yeah.
As an outfit. Like, an outfit with, like, wearing nothing but the beer hat.
Hell yeah.
And like you took that outfit and you headed over to the signal tower, which keeps the supernatural entities out, but apparently did not keep the apparition or the ghost out. But like anyway, yeah. And you went there to play a song on the radio in order to capture the robot's soul. You intentionally put the wrong song number in the radio, and the game just roasted you, like actually like multiple freaking sentences of roasting you. You absolute buffoon.
So it's such a good game.
It was really fun.
Yeah. I still love how like last time when I was recording with Brass, he told me that there's actually a freaking TV tropes thing for Form Thief, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. You put the song on. You got the robot transformation there. It had robot style text. Oh, and I also love how each new form, like the bird before and now the robot, was used to find treats for dog. Your necromancer companion, who was just called Dog.
Mm-hmm. And who can communicate so much shit with just a glance.
Yeah, a glance, a growl, or whatever. It's just like everything is just like communicated there. And it honestly felt like Dog was like the main character, and you were just like kind of like going with her.
We're simply the vessel for her adventure.
But yeah. And after you got the robot form, you headed off to the Signal Tower Command Center, breaking the door down in robot form. And I think you got a mouse soul, and I think the mouse's name was Pine or something like that. And their font was Comic Sans.
Yes, and it slants back and forth.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I love how well you remember these
things. Yeah, I'm surprised you remember all of this.
Well, yeah, the fonts are reflections of the animals' personalities.
Yeah.
Because I remember nothing.
Well, now you're getting like half of Form Thief like summarized here.
Yeah, I'm kind of lost.
But yeah, after Dog used her necromantic magic, the tower's defenses detected it, and just the whole command center locks down. So you try to break the door down, you try to break down the wall next to the door, you try to hack the freaking computer, you try to plug it in your robot form, and you notice that like everything had a cover, so you cannot actually plug in, and then you just entered the barracks, apparently, because there's barracks there, protected by anti-scrying stuff or whatever. You clear debris in robot form, enter the mess hall, head to the bunker command center, try to guess the password like 100 times before actually going to look for the password. Yeah, you were just like apparently just like clicking it. Like Aki was using like a macro or something to just like get like 3 clicks in one click.
Oh yeah, my old mouse.
And then you just like decided eventually just to look for the password. And for whatever reason, the apparition's journal like was in the mess hall. And instead of reading it, Dog helps you like scry it. And you see like a memory from the apparition, whose name was apparently Jack, from like Antarctica. And yes. This apparition was a zoophile, shocking, right? Imagine being a zoophile, as Aki said in the episode, or something like that. And wanted to feel the love that he used to feel. So some, like, I don't know, eldritch horror being in Antarctica convinced him to kidnap all the animals, likely wanting, like, a sacrifice or something. But yeah. You did find, like, a super cool, like, super soldier armor in the bunker. And you tried to wear it, but Dog was like, nope. So you went through the portal to freaking Antarctica.
Still wearing just nothing, a beer hat. Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing but a beer hat. Okay, sorry. Beer hat and sunglasses. Thanks, Dog.
Hell yeah.
Wonderful.
But yeah, you got you scribed the journal, you got the freaking password for the computer in the bunker to lift the freaking lockdown, go to Antarctica, because like the Dog also like freaking growled, and like it was like a whole explanation of like, oh, this is the plan.
And then there was the fucking math test.
Oh yeah, that came later. I have that in my notes, but like
okay.
But yeah, you got the car, the car broke down, you conveniently stopped in front of like a car that only robots can drive, a motorcycle that only robots can drive. So like, yeah, you chose a motorcycle in your robot form, and Dog was wearing sick dog goggles in the sidecar, like really cool. And apparently there are herds of triceratops in Antarctica, apparently. Yes.
Because that's exactly what the best environment for them is.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, yeah, there were other creatures too, because like the motorcycle breaks down again conveniently next to amazing vehicles such as skis, a unicycle, a pogo stick, and sword.
Sword.
Next, you proceed to try to melt Antarctica, to destroy the pogo stick, to wave your keys around, to turn the Antarctic hermaphroditic horse, who's apparently also there, into tires, to give the horse beer, to fix one tire on the motorcycle with the tire from the unicycle, and then you try to destroy the unicycle frame, etc., etc. And then you end up just becoming a mouse robot bird hybrid and fly while carrying dog and stopping to solve a random math problem left on the ice, which was there just for Brass to solve. But we all know this.
Yes, that was purely just to get to me because I sat there and did the fucking math and the answer wasn't there, was one of the options.
Yeah, it was like really funny because like Aki just wanted to continue and you were just like solving the math, and it was like you press on an answer, it wasn't correct, it's like okay, it's like continue. No, that's what the answer, I got the answer.
There's nothing that distresses a big nerd like me who has always been obsessed with good grades more than telling me I don't have the answer when I know for a fact I do.
Yeah, you were arguing about that for like a few minutes. Well, not that long, like a minute or two, something like that. But yeah, math test was there. I love how random this game was sometimes.
It is wonderful.
But yeah. You arrive at a hangar, same as in the Apparitions Journal when you scryed it. And there are absolutely no smells there. And there are no comments about stickering spots there. So it was like really eerie in a way. And yeah, dog scries another scentless area with like edible spells leading there, and you hybrid fly there again, and it's apparently like a ghost factory or something like that.
But, we manufacture ghosts.
Yeah, you find a soul harvester there, and you destroyed it using laser eyes that the robot form apparently has.
The robot farm really was overpowered, gotta say.
Yeah, like, I don't know, it was like talking about how powerful it is. But yeah, there was like a really funny interaction between you two when there was like an option to kill the ghost, and it went like, I actually put like the exact quotes. It was like, do you think he can be redeemed? No, let's kill the ghost.
No, let's kill the ghost.
No, let's kill the ghost. So yeah, you end up freaking stabbing the ghost with a knife that was just there, I guess.
Cool.
And the animals were returned. You had a makeout sesh with dog. There was an epilogue at the farm. You were stickering stable stalls, which had, and the farm had incest horses, apparently.
Hell yeah, I remember those.
Yeah. And the ending, like the descriptions about the farm in the summer, made Aki miss summers at, like, the farm working with horses. You were reminiscing at the end. I think it was kind of cute.
Meow. Nothing on that, Aki. Just meow.
Meow. I mean, yeah, that works. And that's all the notes I have. It was a long episode, so it's a lot of notes, but like, kind of like the, but yeah, if you want to play the game yourself, you can just go to thineownselfiezoo.com, I think.
I haven't been on that website in a while.
And on the right side, you can just see the, like a link to Form Thief. And you can play the text-based adventure yourself. Because, yeah. Like, even, like, okay, this was, like, a really rudimentary glance, and, like, you kind of skipped all of the optional content to get to the ending. Like, if you had done all the, like, the optional content, I think you might have actually sped, like, three episodes on this one.
Oh yeah, there was a lot of stuff we never got to, but I also think that's kind of a good thing because, you know, that leaves something for people to find for themselves, you know.
Yeah, definitely. If the summary sounds interesting to you, and you want to play a Zooey text-based adventure game, you can just try the game for yourself.
Yeah. All right. So with that, shall we wrap up the episode?
Let's wrap up the episode.
All right. Would you like, I've got some Christmas wrapping paper with some, you know, trees mm-hmm. and stars on it. Got mm-hmm. some birthday wrapping paper with some okay. cake and balloons. And we've also just got plain blue, no other design on it, wrapping paper.
Are these all of the options?
Yes.
Velo, do you have anything?
Well, there is also this gift bag.
No, that's lame.
Okay. I mean, I do also have some, like, wrapping papers. Like, I have some wrapping paper with deer on it, you know?
I knew it would be something with deer. Yeah, let's go with that one.
do you have any antler-shaped bows?
Antler-shaped bows? Unfortunately, I don't have those in stock, but I can make an order for you.
Okay. We will need that for future use. All right, who would like to do the bits, or shall it just be me?
You can do it.
You can do it.
All right. Thank you for listening to Zoo and Me. As always, our website is zooin.me. Our email is zooinme@proton.me. Our Blue Sky, which I really need to get back on top of actually putting stuff on there, it's just... Zoo and me at zoo and me is what was it?
Zoo and at zoo and dot me.
Yeah, at zoo and dot me. Yeah. And you can also find Aki's account because she's the only one who still has one at akito.zooand.me.
Yes.
And there is also, of course, the tumblers, which we always forget how many E's you have in the end of your tumbler.
It's two E's.
Okay. It's at Akito with two E's. There's also at the Brass Bulldog, which is mine, but I haven't been on Tumblr in fucking ages, as I've said before.
I'm there every day.
And that's about it.
Yeah, actually, I have an announcement to make here. It's kind of bare bones at the moment, and I still don't have, like, Blue Sky or whatever. But you can go to emberepsilon.card.co and you can find my new galleries, which will be essentially just no self-censor art because like my family and friends know my actual art account. So I tried to keep it a little bit more tasteful there. But like if you want to see my galleries, where I actually posted Bonefeather, Akito's... Warrior Cats character art already, so you can go check that out. Like, I'm currently on Fair Affinity, Ink Bunny, Sofury, Weasel, and E621, though I don't have anything posted on E621 yet.
What was your Ink Bunny again?
EmberEpsilon.card.co. Card with two R's. Card.
Ember Epsilon. You'll have to send it to me later.
I got it. I can send it now.
Dot card dot what?
Card dot co. It's like com without an M.
Yes. I've put the link into the group chat for you.
Cool. I misspelled epsilon.
All right. Well, I think that is all for this episode.
Yeah. I am going to go to sleep after this, maybe. I barely slept last night, so...
I am going to watch Steven Universe and then go to sleep.
I like your bio on for Affinity. M-member. M-draw animals. Oh, whoa.
Oh, whoa.
Oh, whoa. Yeah, I think that's, like, my bio on all of the galleries. But yeah, when I make more accounts, I will put all of them there. So if you want to follow, I don't know, when I make a Blue Sky or whatever, like, the links will be all there.
Nice.
Cool.
Right. Hi, everyone. And I hope you enjoyed, and farewell.
Truesly muesli.
San Francisco.
Goodbye, everypony.
Chussy.